Our reading today is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter in verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's open our Bibles and begin reading in verse 10 and reading down through verse 17. Paul said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." Now, Paul just finished talking about the apostates and the false teachers that he describes in verses 1 through 9. Now, he contrasts himself with these men that he's just talked about. He talks about the huge difference between his life and their life. He talks about the big difference between his doctrine and their doctrine. He says, "Timothy, you know me. You know my life." That's what he says in verse 10. "But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life," and so forth. So the first word in verse 10 is an important word to remember, the word "but." That shows that Paul is making a contrast. He's just described all these apostates and these false teachers. Now he says to Timothy, "But Timothy, on the other hand, in contrast to them, you know that my life has been right. You know that my doctrine has been the truth." So look at the differences that he gives here in verses 10 and 11 between his life and his doctrine and what he described about these false teachers. He said, "You have fully known my doctrine." Paul preached the gospel, but their teaching was only an appearance of godliness, verse 5. These people knew everything but the truth, verse 7. And they even resisted the truth, verse 8. Then Paul says, "You have fully known my manner of life." Timothy knew that Paul lived a sincere life. He knew that Paul lived an upright life. Paul was a good man, and he lived a good life. But their life was ungodly. That's why he describes all of those sins in verses 2 through 4, and he describes their adultery in verse 6, and in verse 8, he talks about how that they have corrupt minds and that they are reprobates. Paul says, "You know my doctrine, you know my manner of life, and you know my purpose." Paul says, "Timothy, you know my motivation. You know why I'm doing this. It's to save lost souls and to try to keep the saved saved." That was Paul's goal in life. But the purpose or the goal of these false teachers was to use people for their own selfish benefit. Paul says, "You have known my faith, you've known my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience." Now, these apostates and these false teachers that he's talked about had none of those qualities. And then in verse 11, Paul mentions something about himself, not to brag, but simply to make the point and draw the contrast. And that is, he mentions his persecutions and his hardships. Why does he do that? To show the difference between Paul and these false teachers. Paul endured a lot of hardship in his life. He suffered many persecutions. Why? Because of his preaching of the gospel. That's why he was persecuted so much. So Paul suffered and he sacrificed a great deal in order to be a gospel preacher. So the question is, What about those false teachers? What did they give up? What did they suffer? The differences between Paul and these false teachers couldn't be any more dramatic. Paul served other people for their own good. These false teachers exploited other people and used them for their own selfish gain. Paul suffered persecution because of preaching the gospel, but these false teachers gained from preaching their doctrine. They weren't persecuted, they didn't sacrifice, and they didn't suffer. But Paul reminds Timothy, and he tells us, that it was not just Paul who was going to be persecuted. It was not simply preachers who were going to suffer hardship, but it's every child of God that lives godly. In verse 12, Paul says to all Christians, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice that he's talking about people here who are in Christ Jesus. And he's talking about those who live godly in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about somebody in the church that's a hypocrite and doesn't live a godly life. A man like that, a man who's a hypocrite, will suffer some things in life, but he's not going to suffer the persecution that Paul is talking about here. And notice that Paul says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there are no exceptions. There are differences. There are different types of persecution, and there are different levels of persecution. There are some people that are persecuted because people talk about them, and that's just about the extent of that persecution. Then there are other people that are actually physically harmed or mistreated as a form of persecution. So although the type of persecution varies, and the level or the extent of that persecution does differ, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we might ask here, well, what about all those evil men that Paul has talked about? What is going to happen to those people? Well, he addresses that in verse 13. He says, but, on the other hand, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That simply means that they will become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These evil men and imposters that he's described in this chapter will not remain the same. They will not stay on the same level of wickedness. Paul says they're just going to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall grow or become worse and worse. They just get farther away from God, farther away from the truth, and more corrupt in their heart and their life. Have you noticed in this book that Paul has already said that this is the nature, this is the course of evil? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, Paul said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, he says that evil men and seducers shall wax or become worse and worse. And just as a side point here, if all sin is the same, and all sinners are the same, and there is no one sinner any worse than the other, then how is it and why is it that Paul says that these men will become worse and worse? This is the nature of sin. It is progressive. It gets worse. Or you could say it's digressive. It just tends to get worse and worse unless a person repents of that sin. Once a person deliberately goes against one truth in the Bible, he really finds no real reason after that to have respect for another truth, and then another, and another. Why should he? And so he becomes worse and worse. Notice that he says that these evil men and imposters, as they become worse and worse, will be deceiving, that is, they will continue to try to and sometimes succeed in deceiving other people. But while they're deceiving other people, they will be deceived themselves. That's funny. It's ironic that a person who prides himself in being able to fool other people ends up getting fooled himself. He gets back what he thinks he's doing to other people. And now in verse 14, we're about to come to a second contrast in this section. The first contrast was between Paul and these apostates and false teachers. Now, the second contrast is between these apostates, these sinners, and these false teachers, and especially these seducers and evil men in verse 13, is the difference between those people and Timothy. So Paul says to Timothy in verse 14, and notice again the contrasting word but. In verse 14, but continue thou in the things which you have learned. Timothy, in spite of what these other people do, in spite of the fact that they leave the gospel, in spite of the fact that they just keep getting worse and worse, you stay with what you know is the truth. You stay with the Bible. Now, that's Paul's exhortation to this young preacher here. In spite of what other people do, no matter how many people fall away from the gospel or live an ungodly life, you just keep believing and doing what you have known. Now, this could be done back in Timothy's day, and it can be done today. The longer we live the Christian life, the more we will see other Christians giving up, and the more false religion we're going to see in the world. So what do? We follow what Paul says here. Just continue in the Bible. Hold on to the Bible. He says in verse 15, Timothy, you just keep believing and you just keep following what you have known since you were a child. He says in verse 15, from a child, since the time that you were a young child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now, do you remember back in chapter 1, verse 5 of this letter, that Paul talked about Timothy's mother and grandmother and the great faith that they had? Timothy's mother, as a faithful Jew, taught him the Scriptures when he was a child. And Paul says, Timothy, you just continue in the teaching of the Scriptures, because those same Scriptures will make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And notice what he says about the Bible. Notice what he says about the Scriptures in verses 16 and 17. In contrast to these false teachers and their message, Paul says, Timothy, you hold on to the same Scriptures that you have known since you were a child, because those same Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 says that the Holy Spirit guided those men who wrote those Scriptures. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, that inspired men wrote with words that the Holy Ghost taught them, not the words which man's wisdom taught them. That's what Paul means when he says that the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. And then he says that those Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. That is the all-sufficiency of the Bible. So Paul is saying to Timothy, in spite of what these other people do, you stay with the Bible. And in the next chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's not only going to tell him to stay with the Bible and live the Bible, he's going to tell him to preach the Bible and the Bible alone. Preach the Word, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2.